Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We'll look at the Word in a moment or two, but before we do, let us bow our heads together and ask God to help us in our study of the Word. Our God, we thank you today that we have the opportunity of coming to you in the name of our Savior. We do ask today that thou wilt open the Word that we might be able to lay hold of the truth of thy Word this hour. Grant, Father, that as the Word is applied to our lives will be a greater testimony for thee. Look upon us with favor now, meet our needs, show thyself strong in our behalf. We give thee all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been studying together the Sermon on the Mount, as you well know, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel according to Matthew. And we come now in today's study to the last part of chapter 6. Chapter 6 has been dealing with the amplification of the law. Moses stated the law, and then the Lord Jesus Christ took the law and amplified it, didn't destroy it, didn't change it, just amplified it, interpreted it more in the spirit than in the letter. And in our last study, we were thinking with you about the subject of law and grace, how that the law said a certain thing was necessary, and if in grace you wanted to do more than the law required, you could, and thus manifest a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater illustration of that than in a thought that we did not have time to consider in our last study in the discussion of law and grace, because we do want to spend time today in the study of law and love, as the Lord Jesus Christ illustrated it in the amplification of the law. But I refer to this amplification of law and grace, which is found in the 42nd verse of Matthew chapter 5. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now this verse has proved to be a problem to a great many people. They say, does this mean that every time someone comes to me and says, give me $5, that I need to dig down in my top pocket just because I'm a Christian and give him $5? One comes to me and says, I need $100, $200, $300. You mean I'm really supposed to do that? Well, this passage of Scripture, let me remind you, like the others, has a Jewish flavor. This passage of Scripture should not be interpreted in the general way that I have attempted to illustrate it. This passage of Scripture should be interpreted in the light of the year of Jubilee, which was a Jewish custom. Every 50 years, the year of Jubilee, every debt in Israel that had not been paid was marked off the books. No one had to pay it. That was the year of the forgiveness of debts. Now suppose I am a Jew, and someone comes to me in the last 2 weeks of the 49th year and says, give me some money. And I think, wait a minute now. If I give him that money now, I'm not going to get that money back. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in grace, if your neighbor, your Jewish brother, comes to you and makes that request, let him have what he wants, if you're able to, of course. If it's wise, of course. Because Scripture does not contradict Scripture. And you should never take one passage of Scripture and emphasize it to the exclusion of truth that is taught elsewhere in the Word of God. And though we do not have time to look at the passages of Scripture today, there are passages of Scripture which indicate that individuals should bear their own burdens and the individuals should pay their own expenses as far as they are able. Paul expressed it, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because we go to law with one another, that is, believer with believer. Well, that's not the only recourse we have. Why do we not rather take wrong? And why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? You have the opportunity of doing one thing, but you don't necessarily have to do it. And when the Spirit of God has something to say about the matter of debts, then it is a matter of the individual who does not work. The individual should not eat. You see, friend, you have a perfect right, according to the law, to refuse to give to him that asks. You have a perfect right to go to law to collect your debts. There's no question about that. But there are times when in grace you can say, I'll let God take care of it. I've been misled by this man. I've been cheated by this man. But I'm going to let God take care of it. And that leads us to the second amplification we said was found in the closing words of chapter 5. I believe I said earlier in our study that we were coming to the end of chapter 6, but it's chapter 5 we're coming to the end of. And so here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, we read, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies." In these few verses, so familiar to most of us, the Lord Jesus Christ presents law and love. The law in verse 43 reads, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." And that is amplified in the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, where we read, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And, of course, the children of thy people are the Jews and the brotherhood of faith. But when you come over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 42, you have the rabbis adding something to what was actually said. And they said, you know, loving your neighbors, one thing, we ought to do that, but I think we ought to hate our enemies as well. And so, as I said to you in the very beginning of our study, some broadcasts ago, the Lord Jesus, in amplifying the law, was telling how the law should be interpreted in the Spirit, because the rabbis had taken the law and added so many traditions to it that it was hardly clear as to what was actually said, let alone how it should be interpreted in the Spirit. The Lord Jesus, in amplifying this particular law, love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy, said, that is what has been said of old time, but I'm saying to you now, not only love your neighbor, that's easy for you to do, but love your enemy too. Now keep in mind that this is a personal relationship. So he's speaking of the manifestations of love in these verses. How can we love our enemies? It's one thing to say we do, but how can we really do it? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if someone curses you, bless him. Don't curse him back, whether it's your neighbor or whether it's your enemy. Oh, you could, if you wanted to, act according to the law and get a curse for a curse, give a curse for a curse, and take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But why not let some of the love of God show through in your life? Someone hates you? Don't hate him back. Don't try to get even with him. Do something good for him and see what a difference it makes, because the law of love makes a tremendous difference in everyone's life. Now, another manifestation of love for your enemies is to pray for them that persecute you. Now, my friend, this is based upon love, and there's no question about that. Perhaps one would say today, I don't have that kind of love. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you and tell you, I, Joe Temple, don't have that kind of love either. In the flesh, I would rather react and get even and see that I got my rights. But you see, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I did, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit took up his residence in my life, and he filled my life. And in filling my life, he filled me with many of the attributes of his own, which are called the fruits of the Spirit. And one of them is love. The love of God, not love for God, but the love of God, the same kind of love that God has, is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I can't give love for hate, but when I am filled with the Holy Spirit, the love of God that is in my heart can love those who hate me and do good to those that despitefully use me. Hear the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. God doesn't expect you, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're listening to this program today and don't know Christ, these words are not addressed to you. Paul's speaking to Christians when he says, beloved, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. That is, resist not the evil. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine, and I'm injecting in the light of the context, thy personal enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I pause to emphasize that though this verse has been misconstrued and misinterpreted, applied to nations when it should have been applied to individuals, we as individuals should be careful to follow the instruction. Now, why? Well, the answer is that if you do this, you will be the children of your Father in heaven. That's what he says in verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, we should act like our Father. All of us who have had the privilege of having children are delighted when we see our children doing the things that we have taught them and doing the things that they've seen us do. They're acting like their Father. Of course, that's a grave responsibility, because sometimes when children act like their Father, they don't act very nice. But when we have trained our children properly and we see our children acting in the manner in which they've trained, they're acting like their Father. This is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Your Father, when he decides he's going to let it rain, and God does have control of the elements in spite of what people think about it, if God decides it's going to rain, he doesn't say, well, so-and-so over here has been very good, I'll let it rain on him. But over here, he hasn't been very good, I won't let it rain on him. He doesn't do that. He lets it rain on everybody, the just and the unjust. And we need to learn, as children of the Father, to do that very thing. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, said the Apostle Paul. And the Lord Jesus said, if ye love them which love you, you haven't done anything. If you salute your brother only, that is, if you do good to your brother only, you haven't done anything. Everybody does that. Therefore, be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And this is not a reference to sinfulness or the lack of sin. It is a reference to maturity. Be grown up like your Father. Don't let petty disagreements ruin your relationships. We must leave you now because time is gone, and may God bless each one of you today.